Hey, my name is Irvin Waswa. I have the privilege of serving as Tylertown Church Campus Pastor with Living Hope Baptist Church. We just launched a new campus on the north side of Clarksville, working alongside Pastor Derek Smith and the staff there. We're one church with multiple locations now. But at the end of the day, you know, all of us here in Clarksville, we're one church. If you have a relationship with Jesus, right, we're one church with the same mission, and that is to make disciples of all nations. I remember I've been here about a year, a little over a year now, close to a year and a half here in Clarksville, moved up here from New Orleans. And one of the most staggering statistics I heard about Clarksville, a place I didn't really know much about, was this reality that, you know, 86% of folks here do not go to church. They don't go to church. And I remember thinking, man, that's staggering. You know, where I came from, New Orleans, Louisiana, that's where I was thinking, man, the numbers are similar there. And here we are in Clarksville, right? Nashville's right down the road. You know, you got Lifeway. You know, in a lot of places, this area, Middle Tennessee, is known as the belt buckle of the Bible Belt. And yet many folks are, you know, not going to church. And it really broke my heart about this reality that, I mean, folks here, we need Jesus. We need Jesus. And listen, I mean, if we want to see revival take place in our city, I mean, it's going to take us sharing the greatest news of how great this God that we serve actually is. Obviously, it starts with prayer, but also it's proclamation of the greatest news that we were sinners in need of a Savior, and God in His love sent a Son to come and die for us. And so I want to take a few minutes and look at a passage of Scripture from, you know, one of the greatest evangelists, probably the greatest evangelist ever in Jesus, right, in his ministry. And I want to pull out a few truths for us to take home today about this call to live as evangelists. So Matthew chapter 9, if you got a Bible, turn with me to Matthew chapter 9. And many of you are probably familiar with the passage. It's simply three verses, starting in verse 35, reading through verse 38. Context, Jesus is in the middle of his ministry. He's healing folks, right? He's setting folks free. You know, that was his ministry. And he continues on. It's kind of a summation here. And so we'll go ahead and read and we'll dive into it. Starting in verse 35, it says this: "And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest field.'" Three quick truths I want to highlight, and then we'll start praying. We'll start praying. First truth that we see here in the text is simply this: hey, Jesus was committed to the call. He was committed to the call. He knew his call on earth, right, was to minister to people and to share the greatest news about the kingdom of God coming. Now, here's a reality, church. I know I'm talking to saints in here. Here's the truth. You know that all of us that are in Christ, we're all called. We're all called to share the greatest news. Matthew 28:19 tells that. "Go out, go therefore and make disciples of all nations." Mark 16:15, Jesus says, "Hey, go and share the gospel with all the nations." All of us in here. Doesn't matter if you're a preacher, you know, or a prayer warrior. Doesn't matter if you're a deacon or somebody that comes every once in a while. If you're a believer in here, you are called to share the greatest news ever, the gospel message. And listen, we've got to be committed to. We've got to be committed to. If we want to see change take place here in Clarksville, hey, we've got to emulate Jesus and realize, hey, we've got to share. What does that look like? Friends that you have in your life, those who are close to you, having a conversation with them, right? Those that as you're driving by and as you're living in the rhythms of your life, that person you see in the coffee shop, that same person you see at the grocery store, you stepping out in faith and sharing with them. That's what it takes. Listen, we've got to be committed to the call. Got to be committed to the call. Second thing we see here is that Jesus, he had compassion for the crowds. Compassion for the crowds. There's verse 36. "When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them." He was looking out and seeing that so many folks they didn't know the hope of the gospel. Is that true of us today? Listen, Brother Kyle, I think the reality is that the reason why we don't share a lot of times is because we lack compassion for the folks that we're around. It's sad. We lack compassion for them. We have forgotten, essentially, now that we are in Christ, we've forgotten where we were prior to coming to Christ. And what happens is we lack compassion for that person that's lost, that doesn't know Jesus. Listen, we've got to gain a compassion for the folks that are around. I'm thankful that there were people in my life that had compassion on me to share the greatest news ever. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for Luke Allen, who was my youth minister when I was going to church in middle school and high school. I'm thankful that he had compassion to pick me up and take me to church and through that share the good news. I'm thankful for Brandon Cody, a kid in the youth group that took me home every Wednesday night and through that ministered to me and shared the gospel message. Listen, in order for us to share, we've got to have compassion for those that are around us. What does that look like? Hey, we got to pray for it. May we pray that the Lord break our hearts for the lostness that's around us. Give us an awareness for the lostness that's around us. And lastly, real quick, we see this, that Jesus saw the mission as urgent. This mission that Jesus was on, it was urgent. That last verse there, 37 and 38. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly." He didn't just say pray whenever, you know, it came to your mind. He said pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. He realized the reality, and so do we have to see this reality that, hey, those that don't know Jesus, they don't just go to a soul sleep. You know, those that don't know Jesus, they don't just disappear into nothingness. The reality is those that have no relationship with him, if we believe the Bible is true, the Bible says they're going to die and spend forever in a Christless eternity in a place called hell. And listen, we've got the antidote. We've got the solution. We've got the answer. And his name is Jesus. And we've got to choose to share that truth. And we've got to be urgent about it. Got to be urgent. No time to waste. No time to waste. And watch God work when you do. I remember getting a message about 2 years ago from a friend me and some friends went to college with, a guy named Spencer. He was an atheist whenever he came to college. And, you know, myself and some of my friends, I mean, you know, God put it on our heart to just love on him and share with him. We, you know, we lived in the same dorm together, so we shared. And a lot of times he was just in and around, you know, our group. He didn't really say much. A lot of times just kind of wrote us off, you know. And, you know, that was that. I ended up transferring, you know, moving on. We went our separate ways. He sent me a Facebook message. And, I mean, it was, you know, one of them book-long Facebook. You know what I'm talking about? You know, one of those paragraph-long. And he sent it to me. And he said, "Hey, you know, just wanted to check in and let you know, you know, it's been about 5 years now since, you know, you guys shared the gospel with me. And as of a couple of months ago, I gave my heart to Christ." And you know, and now he shared his testimony with folks, you know, that he's around all over the place. And listen, I'm not sharing that, you know, to boost my ego or boost my esteem. I'm sharing that to let you know, hey, listen, when we're faithful and obedient to sharing the gospel, God's going to move and God's going to use it. This idea of evangelism is not some just abstract thing that, you know, only preachers can do or only folks that go to seminary can do. All of us can do that. All of us have friends and family members that are around us, that are in our sphere of influence, that God has placed there for the purpose of us sharing with them. And so listen, share. Share your story. Share what Jesus has done in your life. And watch God work. Watch God work. Maybe, just maybe, church, maybe, just maybe, we're the answer to this prayer that Jesus calls for us to get. We're the laborers in the harvest field. Let's step out and make a difference. Make a difference. Let's pray, and then we'll move on to our prayer time. Lord, again, we love you. We thank you for for saving us. Lord, we thank you for the glorious news of the gospel, Lord. And I pray that all of us in here would see that you've tasked us with the mission to go and to share. We're not called just to sit in a chair or sit in a pew every Sunday and then just coast into eternity. God, you've called us. Got to go and share this greatest news. And God, I pray that you would help us to be more committed to do that, Lord, that you would give us a compassion for the lostness that's around us. And God, I pray that we would see that this mission is urgent, as you saw it, Lord. And God, we ask and pray that you work, Lord, and that we would take place in a major revival taking place here in Clarksville for your glory, for your name. We'd see lives changed, people saved. And again, at the end of the day, we'd give you glory for it. We love you. We thank you. And we ask these things all in your name. Amen.
Well, thank you so much, Irving. What a great, great reminder. And we're moving now to our prayer time. You won't hear anything else anymore, but what will happen is I'll lead us on focusing on God. After that, Paula Gullett's going to come, and she's going to help us to really seek God for his outpouring of his power on the services today, the leaders. And then Dwight Dixon will come, and he'll lead us in praying for the lost. And then at the end of that, Dan Nails will come, and he's going to lead us in praying for what Irving just prayed for, a citywide movement of God's Spirit all across his churches and revival and in gathering. And you know what? Like so many things, as you progress throughout the week in a series of meetings, they seem to build and progress. And last night, we just had a wonderful touch of God in a service with several saved. And we're going to continue right now to seek God for that. And my little segment in the prayer meeting is to help us just get our hearts ready to enter into God's presence. I don't know that needs much to happen. Sounds like we're already doing pretty good on that. But let me just make this comment before I begin to ask you to pray. And how many people pray for lost folks to be saved? I want to tell you about a person in the Bible who prayed for that. He doesn't have a name, but here's what he said in Luke 16:27. Then I beg you, Father, to send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Do you know people in hell pray? You know why? Because they know what the torment is like. Then I beg you, Father. Have you ever thought about the cry from hell? It's asking for someone to go to their brother or their sister that's remaining yet here that someone would go tell. And so, I don't know about you. I've needed to hear the message. Philip preached last night on the Great White Throne Judgment. I needed to hear that again. Because it's easy for me just to, in a Christian bubble, just simply not to deliberately, but somehow inadvertently begin to forget that. So I want us to get ready as we're going to seek God for his outpouring of his Spirit on these services and the salvation of the lost. And all of it is what? It's to make disciples of all nations, starting right here from Clarksville. And if you're a Christian, that discipleship process can continue. But if you're lost, then the first step in discipleship is to encounter Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So we're going to start tonight by, or this morning rather, by focusing on the Lord's power. Listen to Psalm 97 right here. The Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the multitudes of the islands be glad. Do you want to know what God is like? Clouds and thick darkness surround him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. A fire goes before him and burns up his enemies round about. His lightnings light the world. The earth sees and trembles. The mountains melt like wax at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the Lord of the whole earth. We're entering into the presence of that God to ask him to move, and we want to give him glory and honor. And then we're going to ask him, the one before whom mountains melt like wax. You ever seen a candle do that? When he shows up in his presence, everything just has a reaction. Somebody said, God, would you come in power? I heard somebody say this, he doesn't come any other way. When the God of the whole universe shows up, he comes in power. And so I want us right now to begin to praise him and to thank him and to get ready with anticipation that when we begin to cry out for him in a moment for these three areas, that we already know what he is going to do. I mean, not specifically the exact way he's going to do it, but we know the general thing of what he's going to do. He's going to hear our cry. So I want to ask us here today, right now, would you please stand up on your feet and would you get with another person or two and would you begin to worship him, enter his presence, this God before whom the mountains melt. Let's praise him right now where you are. So turn to people and let's just begin to praise him. Oh, that's right. Let us praise him. As you're praying, would you thank God? Thank God for what he's going to be doing. He already saved some people last night. And things are building. Thank him for what's ahead. Oh, as you're in an attitude of thanksgiving, is there anything that you need to get right with him? If you are like me, I realize that I have been negligent in evangelism. Do you need to confess any sin to get ready? Do so. Oh, Father, let us walk in your presence. Let us repent of a lack of passion for you and for what you've assigned us and for the ingratitude and the other things. But thank you for your goodness. Thank you for that. Thank you that we get to rejoice in you always. Thank you, Father, for right now that you are stirring us and calling us to yourself. So we just pray right now that you hear us as we continue in this meeting of prayer, that you answer. And Lord, we don't want to be praying mindlessly, and we don't want to be getting excited emotionally only. We want to come with faith into your presence, that when we call to you, you're going to do something, not generally, but specifically. When we call out to you to move in power, as Paula leads us, you're going to do something. When we call upon you to save lost friends and family members and others, you're going to do something. When we call on you to pour out your spirit, you're going to do something. So, Father, thank you. Would you help us to be focused on you right now? In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
It is a joy to be here with you this morning. How good to be in the house of the Lord with the believers. It is a delightful, delightful experience. I felt like the Lord wanted me, after I opened in prayer, to bring the microphone to all of you and let you tell him how much you value his manifest presence. So I'm going to do that. In 1988, I was in a little prayer meeting, and God gave us a word, and that word was, shout, for I have given you the city. Shout, for I have given you the city. Shout, for I have given you the city. God has given us this city, and it is ours for the taking, and the time is now. Many of us have prayed for this city for 30, 40, 50 years, and we are now getting to walk in the fullness of what we've been praying for so many years. It has begun, and we get to be part of it. So let's go and pray to our dear precious Heavenly Father. Father, we love you. You are everything. As John read this morning, righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. But Father, in our time, justice has been turned away. Righteousness stands afar off. Truth has stumbled in the street. And uprightness cannot come in. Father, you are a God of encouragement, and you say to us now, yet I will arise, yet I will be exalted, yet I will be glorified, magnified. Lord, you are the King of kings and Lord of lords. You are the mighty one of Jacob, the holy one of Israel. You are the bread of life who gives living water. You are the rose of Sharon, the bright and morning star. You are God. You are the Lion of Judah. You are the great I Am. You say this is your eternal name. I am that I am for all eternity. This is your name, the great I Am, the all-sufficient one, the God of more than enough, the way, the truth, the life, eternal God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, mighty God. You are everything, and everything is you, Lord. And Father, you share yourself with us, your children. How you honor us. Father, we do love your presence. We love your manifest presence, Father. We love to be with you, Heavenly Father. What joy and delight just to walk with you and to be in your presence. Father, we pray for an outpouring of your Holy Spirit on the meetings today, Heavenly Father. Lord, we've already experienced your presence as a time of worshiping you. It was wonderful, Father, and we thank you so much for it. Father, I'm going to walk around now, and I'm going to let your children tell you how much they value you. You are the pearl of great price. You are our magnificent obsession. You are our all in all. You are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. You are the God that knows the end from the beginning. You and you alone are God, and we love you. We, your children, rise up today, and we bless your holy name, and we thank you for what you are going to do in the services today, Father. Father, we are nothing. We're just empty vessels. You are everything. We love you.
Dear Lord, thank you. You are all we need. You are El Roi, the one who sees me. And Lord, you gave me Isaiah 43. You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, so that you may know and believe and understand that I am he. Before me no God was formed, nor will there be one after me. I am the Lord, and apart from me there is no Savior.
Father, we just thank you and we worship you. Thank you, Father, that we love you because you first loved us. And Father, thank you for your great outpouring. Father, thank you that you care about our little details, that you care about the minute events in our life. Father, thank you that when we cry out to you, you are there because you care so much for us. Father, thank you for your love. We worship you. We honor you. And Lord, we thank you that you're going to use us, Father, that we are that empty vessel. That, Father, you've given us not only a spirit of influence, but a spirit of responsibility that you have called all of us to. That, Father, as we work in partnership with you, that we can be your ambassador. We can display your glory. And so, Father, I ask you right now that you show all of us what our piece of the puzzle is and how to use us, that we truly can magnify and glorify you because you are our God.
Lord, I just want to thank you for what you've done for us so far in this revival and this rally by the river, and it just seems like there's been so many wonderful things that you did by the river. And Lord, we are going to continue to believe what you're going to do here on the river. And I thank you for breaking our hearts for the loss last night. Brother Philip just brought us to our knees about those, what's going to happen to those who aren't believers. And Lord, it certainly broke my heart for the ones that I know. And I pray especially, Lord, for Holly and Ed and Brandon and Eric and Cindy and Lynn. And Lord, I just ask, Lord, that you would bring them to yourself. Use me, Lord. Use me to help them come to you. And thank you for what you're going to do the rest of today.
Lord, today we thank you. We thank you for carrying the cross of our sins, the cross of our burdens. Lord, we cannot even imagine what that day was like. But Lord, when you said it is finished, it was just beginning for us. And so Lord, I ask that you use this time, use these people, use us all to go out and spread your word and to share your word with one another. Give us strength, give us hope and assurance, and help us to give others the same.
Holy Father, I thank you for the word of God, that we can stand on the promises of God. And I just claim and declare over this city of Clarksville and Montgomery County the words of Jesus in Mark 9:23, my favorite Bible verse, that says, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Father, I thank you for the prophetic boldness that you are going to give your children in this timely, urgent hour to declare the goodness of God in the land of the living to those who are fainting, who are bleeding and dying on Jericho's road, who have suffered greatly from the hands of the enemy. Father, we pray in Jesus' name that you will grant many doors of utterance, that even as Paul said, pray that I be granted a door of utterance to declare boldly the word of God. I pray that there would be many, many, many doors of utterance opened up, even in this very day, this week, this month, this year, for the saints of God to open their mouth wide that you might fill it. Father, I thank you that the word of God says that we are to speak as the oracles of God, that we are to minister with the ability that only God can give. And Father, I thank you that you are going to grant these prayers of these precious saints this very day that are praying and believing and praying the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous people that availeth much. Father, we thank you today for the miracles that will take place. I thank you for the thousands upon thousands that will be saved in this region, and it will go to the ends of the earth declaring, what has God done? What hath the Lord wrought in Clarksville, Tennessee? I thank you, Father, for the people that will be healed by the power of Jesus. I thank you for the people that will be healed physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. I thank you for the people that will be delivered of demons, the demon oppressed and the demon possessed, those bound with pornography in this city, those bound with alcoholism, those bound with addictions to over credit card spending, gluttony, and many other forms of addictions. Father, we thank you that these altars of Baal shall come down, and that the altar of the Lord shall be rebuilt, and that there would be great honor given to your name in the coming days. We thank you, Lord, for those that will be raised up to be true minstrels and psalmists unto the Lord, and that they would even walk in the light of the radical tabernacle of David worship anointing, where they worship the Lord with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength, even as David danced before the Lord, the Bible says, with all his might. Father, let there be a release of a greater vision of the work of God. May there be multitudes of Bible studies to suddenly be birthed in homes throughout this land. May there be multitudes of prayer meetings birthed in every home throughout this land and businesses. Father, we pray for a greater work than what we are seeing just this week. We pray for a release of a gift of faith like we've never known before. And we'll give you all the honor and glory in Jesus' name.
Almighty God, we just thank you for your son, Jesus. We thank you, God, you loved us so much you sent him. And God, we pray that we'd have that burden to reach others for Jesus Christ, because we all know many that don't know you. And God, as Philip said last night, there's no There's no one way but through Jesus Christ for eternal and everlasting life. And God, we look around our land, not only here in Clarksville and Montgomery County, but throughout the United States of America, the situations we're in. And God, we know that we who are Christian people, if we'd honor your word in 2 Chronicles 7:14, which says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and seek thy face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and heal our land. God, we pray our land might be healed, that thousands would come to know you, God, that the spiritual revival started here this week might extend throughout this county, throughout this state, throughout this nation, and even into the world. God, we need your help. We pray, God, your blessings upon America. We pray, God, our leaders might seek your wisdom and guidance, not only at the local and state level, but the national level. We pray you'd be with our president, that you might seek your wisdom and guidance. God, we might come together, not for more material things, but for more Christian things, more blessings, that more people would come to know you as their Lord and Savior. God, be with us this day. And God, I pray especially for Derek as he speaks today and the speaker tonight. God, Brock Collins, that you be with him. God, the Holy Spirit might speak through him in a mighty way. And God, we thank you for Brother Shep's vision. And we thank you for all the people he led to know Jesus Christ. And God, we pray we might have that same burden to reach others for Jesus. Be with each minister here, God, today. And God, we know for revival to start in America, it must begin first within the pulpit. And God, we pray that the preachers across this land would speak out and not give many sermons, but strong biblical sermons. They'd stand strong for you, God, and speak thy word in a powerful and mighty way, as we've heard this week. God, we thank you for the ones who have spoken here this week, and we pray you bless them. We thank you for each person here today, God, you might bless them. And when we leave here today, we might have a burden to reach others for Jesus Christ. In his name we pray.
Father, we come into your throne room today. Really something to think about. Creator of the universe, you just spoke all this into being. In Hebrews, you tell us that we can come boldly into your throne room and talk to you and stay there until we receive mercy and grace. My little mind has a hard time with that. To come into your throne room, it's really something, Mama. You loved us enough to leave heaven. I can't think about that either. How special it must be there. And you left heaven and came down here on earth for a while, and to pay the penalty for my all of my sins. It's really something that you would love me enough and everybody all over the world to come down here, and then they just beat the fire out of you and beat you up and beat you up, and then they finally killed you. And you was doing it all because you loved us. It's hard to understand that anybody would love us enough to go through all of that where we could live with you forever. It's really something. Thank you, thank you, thank you. That seems so insignificant for what you did. And I pray that my little life would, I could be a servant for you, for what you have done. It's so hard to comprehend how much you love us. And my part is to pray for the lost people. And you, that's why you've done all the things that you've done, is for the, all the lost people, for that we could live with you. It's really something. I'd like for each of us here today to name one person that you know that's not a believer. I want you to just call their names out right now. Their names. Bob. Let's do that again. Let's call their names out again. And one more time. Let's call their names out one more time. Father, we've called these people's names out that, as far as we know, that they don't know you. What a tragedy that is. And I just pray that for each name that's been called out three times here to you today, that your Holy Spirit would do a touch in their lives right this minute, whatever they're doing, if they're brushing their teeth or combing their hair or whatever they might be doing, that they could sense you right now in their life. Only you can touch them, and we just pray for each of these people we've called out right now, that they could sense your Holy Spirit dealing with their lives, and they would come to get to know you in a personal way. Wouldn't that be a special time for each of us? We lift them up to you, Lord, and just minister to their little lives as only you can. Thank you for this great privilege again that you've given us to come into your throne room and just talk to you. What a special thing this is to be in your throne room, holding hands with you and just fellowshipping with you. Thank you for this rich, rich time. And thank you how you're going to deal with these people's lives that we've prayed for and have what will take place as a result of this time this morning. Thank you. We can trust you with our lives day by day so much. Thank you. In Christ's name we ask it.
Pastor John Franklin asked me to speak about my experience in East Tennessee this last year. I had a very unique experience, encounter that I have never had before in my life. And it was a wonderful experience spiritually, and a growing experience spiritually. It was called the Greenville, Tennessee Awakening. Look that up on your computer. It's there. A number of articles have been written. There are pictures, there are podcasts. The Greenville Awakening is truly that. Not just a revival. It was an awakening. It was an awakening of people who have prayed for years. And God was answering their prayer, just like we believe God's going to answer our prayer. The Greenville Awakening started in a church called it Greystone. It was a denominational church. Pastor Roger Stockman, a very humble man, was the pastor. And they'd been praying for 6 months or so before their spring revivals, which began the 18th of April of last year. And they were figuring they're just going to have a revival meeting for a week. Well, it went on for a week. People were saved. They decided to continue for a few days. Went on for a second week. Went on for a third week. Outgrew the church. The evangelist, D.R. Harrison, whose background is, his dad was an evangelist, but who happened to be wayward for many years, had come back to the Lord about 3 years before. An unordained man, a businessman. He got saved. He shared with his partner. His partner got saved. Their wives got saved. They went into the ministry together. And God called them to this location, to Greystone. And they shared the word of God, and God moved and packed out the church after 3 weeks. And when after it packed out the church, they decided to get a tent, and it grew in the tent. When I was there in the spring and in the summer, they were averaging 350 to 450 per night from all over that area of East Tennessee, which is just south of Johnson City. And there were people that heard about it and came as far as Texas and Florida and up into the Carolinas. It spread in terms of people knowing about it and coming. And there were families that came. There was one family that came just because they were having so many family trouble. They thought they could come and maybe find God and get some help. And they got help. It was that kind of thing. There was one young lady, I remember that night when she was there, she got saved. She was 16 years old, and she told the counselor about her background, how her dad had died about a year before, and how she had been having reoccurring dreams, that her father in her dream said, "You need to get saved. You need to get saved. You need to get saved." This happened a number of times. She came forward and found Jesus as her Savior. It's that kind of thing. We hear about that on the mission field. We don't hear about that in America, but it's happening now in America. There were all kinds of situations. I saw some young men in their mid-teens that were under such conviction from the Spirit of God that they came down before the altar call was given to pray and find Jesus. That's not a man, that is of God. I saw some other very interesting things. I saw a dad. I couldn't, and it hit me right in the heart. I saw a dad there in the tent, lying prostrate, praying and crying and praying for his wayward children. I admit it, I have not reached that point in my life where I would do that for my daughter who was somewhat weird. We pray every day for her, my wife and I do, every day for her and her family. But we have not reached that point. That man had reached that point. He was praying, and I believe God was going to answer his prayers because he had laid it all out, had all out. It was just a tremendous experience. I saw an older man, and he... You know, you sometimes see a person and their face shines, as we say in Canada, Sean. It shone. It did. I saw him, I said, "Who's that older man over there?" "Oh, he's such and such." And then the guy said, "He got saved 3 weeks ago. We've been praying for him for decades, and he got saved." A genuine Spirit of God working in that tent and in the surrounding area. There were baptisms. There were all kinds of spiritual work being done. Families were being brought together. It was truly an interesting and heartwarming experience in every sense. It went from the 18th of April to the 9th of November. It would have gone on longer than that. However, it was too cold in the tent, and it was closed down. But they plan on opening it up this spring, and we trust that the Spirit of God will come again upon those people in East Tennessee. Now, this has been happening this last year in East Tennessee, and out of that, those weeks, there were over 950 people that made commitments to the Lord that were life-changing. It may have been a rededication. It may have been a born-again salvation. But it was clear-cut, and it made a difference. There were families that were brought back together. There were all kinds of things being done that was of God. Now, one of the things that, in addition to that, I'll just highlight very carefully, they have Adoration 2017 and 2018. on the campus of East Tennessee State University in the Mini Dome. 189 churches got together this last year, and they've been praying for years because of all the epidemics in East Tennessee with drugs and how it had devastated families. They've been having prayer walks, many prayer walks, where they get together and they pray and they walk to their county seats, and they're addressed by the ministers there, they're addressed by the mayors there, and they're doing all they can to spiritually, within their churches and within their homes and within the community, to try to deal with this evil that has so infected and destroyed the very fabric of their society. Now, God is on the march, and God is doing things in East Tennessee, and God is doing things here, things that we don't see yet. But if we stay true to Him, if we hang in there, if we move ahead believing, He's going to show them to us. He will show them to us. If we're faithful to Him, He will show them to us. And our source of power is the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. We build ourselves up in faith when we confess the Word of God. And we're going to be doing that in just a moment. But I really believe if we confess the Word of God, if we pray in the Word of God, we will grow spiritually. We'll experience greater confidence and greater understanding of His Word and understanding of His power. We are told to be strong in the Lord in the power of our might? No, His might. Ephesians 6:10. We forget the Lord was a man of war. Jesus is a man of war. Exodus 15:3. He will fight our battles. We can depend upon His power and His direction. We can depend upon His Word. We can depend upon His Spirit. And we cannot overemphasize the point here that we need to be humble. We need to be men and women who have appropriated all the grace of God on our hearts that God wants to give us, and we'll see these things happening. God was with David, and He gave him a source of power in the Spirit. There are many great warriors been trained in the school of the Holy Spirit, God has humbled them and worked with them, and they have become great prayer warriors and great ministers of God. This morning, I want to do something I've not done with the group before, but I believe that God has led me to do to approach it this way. I want us to pray Scripture. I want us to confess Scripture. I am going to pray Scripture. I want you to pray along with me. I want you to praise the Lord along with me as I pray Scripture this morning. And then at the end, I'll close off with a prayer and turn it back. Let us pray. Your throne, O God, is like a fiery flame, Daniel 7. You are the God that answers by fire, 1 Kings 18. The fire goes before you, O Lord, and burns up your enemies, Psalm 97. Lord, release your fire and burn up the works of darkness. Baptize each of us in the Holy Ghost and fire, Luke 3. Let your fire, dear Lord, be in our hands to heal the sick and cast out the evil. Let us let your fire be on our tongues as we preach and prophesy, and let your fire be on our tongues, and let your fire be on your word as your word is preached, Jeremiah 23. Make each of us a minister of fire, Hebrews 1. Deliver us with your fire, Psalm 18. Let your fire protect us and cover us, Exodus 14. We release, Lord, in faith, your fire to burn up the idols of our land, Deuteronomy 7. Let the works of witchcraft and occultism be burned in your fire, Acts 19. Purify our lives with your fire, Malachi 3. Let your fire be released in Zion, Isaiah 31. Let the spirit of lust and perversion be destroyed with your fire, Genesis 19. Release the spirit of burning to burn up the works of darkness, Psalm 140. Let your flame burn up the wicked spirits, Psalm 106. Let your glory be kindled with a burning like a fire, Isaiah 10. Cause your glorious voice to be heard, showing lightning down your arm with flame to devour fire that would scatter and hail stones to destroy, Isaiah 30. Lord, come and rebuke your enemy with flames of fire, Isaiah 66. Let all flesh see your fire released, Ezekiel 20. Create upon Zion a flaming fire by night, Isaiah 4. Let the fire of your presence be released in our lives, Psalm 97. Let the demons be exposed and cast out with your fire, Acts 28. Let your hot thunderbolts against the enemy do its work, Psalm 78. Cast forth lightning and scatter the enemy, Psalm 144. Let your light be a fire and your holy ones for a flame to burn the briars and thorns in our lives, Isaiah 10. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that you speak to us, and that you we recognize that your very presence is a flame. Your very presence is fire. Your very presence can make a difference and clean out the dross that causes us to be less than what you want it to be in each of our lives. And that we pray in the strong, redemptive name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Pray, Father, thank you so much. You've been so good to us. And help us, Lord, help us to bear the burden in prayer. God, prayer's going to be the key if we're going to see Clarksville come to Christ. Prayer's the key if we're going to see anybody come to Christ. And so, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. Bring us together so that we might be able to do what you want done. In Jesus' powerful name we pray. Amen. God bless you.